What a great addition to our celebration of the Holy Family. We just heard this gospel in which Jesus' parents faithfully brought him to the temple to be consecrated to the Lord, and we together celebrate this baptism of Maximo today as we contemplate the Holy Family. Indeed, we find ourselves on this Holy Family Sunday, which is still within that octave of Christmas. There's 8 days of really concentrated celebration of the incarnation of our Lord. Now today our attention shifts to how Jesus is sharing our human nature, included his growth and development within a family. Jesus, like each one of us, was born into, reared by a family, by that web of relationships, those people so close to us. And we heard at the end of the gospel today that the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, this is perhaps the first thing that we observe from today's gospel, that even Jesus grew. Even Jesus, God, when he took on our humanity, even he underwent that process of development, of growth, growing in wisdom, becoming more solid in his humanity. Now, it might seem obvious to say, but it's important that we remember that part of our humanity is our ability and our need to grow, to continue learning, to become more solid in our ability, to know what it is to live unselfishly, to live as Christians. And so in this university town, this university community, we're reminded that it doesn't matter how many degrees we have or how learned we are, but as Christians, we always have this call to continue learning, to continue growing, developing in our ability to be Christians. Now, the biblical witness, these examples we have in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament, shows us that the privileged place of this learning to be human, learning to be Christian, is the place of the family. And we're given this beautiful icon of the family today with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And see how God's word takes shape and matures within those family relationships. We have to admit sometimes, though, that our own family relationships, don't always mirror perfectly that nice, tranquil image of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph sort of cuddled up together in Nazareth. But this is not a reason to be discouraged. As Pope Francis pointed out a couple of years ago, commenting on this same passage, that what we learn fundamentally from this model of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph is how to keep Jesus at the center of our family relationships. We marvel at how, by doing this, Jesus unites many disparate elements of our families, unites different generations. And Pope Francis continued by saying that families that sort of breathe the climate of faith, they're able to keep the faith alive in their families, are equipped with a sort of different energy, have a different capacity to confront the difficulties of life that can and will come for every family. And so each of us, whether our family is large or small, harmonious or in a mess at this point, take courage, take heart at this example of the Holy Family to recognize that extraordinary presence of God in our midst that we celebrate in such a focused way this Christmas time. And to recognize the power of keeping that faith alive in our families, to go forward and confront life together. St. Paul gives us practical advice on how to grow in our ability to love in our families. He tells us to put on heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if one has a grievance against another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. These aren't new instructions. This isn't new advice, but it's important that we are reminded of this, of these characteristics that make for a loving Christian family. And it's good that we check ourselves against St. Paul's advice. Now, different moments along life's way call for different ways of keeping the faith alive in our families. We're at different stages of life. We have different responsibilities and different opportunities. And today's collection of readings give us a nice sketch of lots of different angles from which we can look at the family. We heard in that first reading from Sirach, addressed primarily to children. And we're all children of someone, so this is relevant for all of us. We heard that command to obey and honor our mother and father. He even gives us that insightful phrase saying that by taking care of our parents in old age, we atone for sins. We hear elsewhere in Scripture that love covers a multitude of sins. So we hear from Sirach this very concrete advice of how we live out that love in our families. When we're young, by having that appropriate respect and obedience to parents, and as we age and they age, to be attentive to their needs. We hear the focus shift to the marital relationship with St. Paul, where he tells us the married couples should live in that sort of mutual deference and love for one another so that they are able to model the love that Christ has for his church, that God has for his people. So married couples, that great vocation to live at the service of one another's holiness and happiness and thereby model God's love in the world. We get insight into faithful parents with this simple but strong example from Mary and Joseph today, who are simply carrying out their duty to their son and their faith. The gospel tells us that they just wanted to live in accord with the law that the Lord had handed down to them. And so they brought their child to the temple to be consecrated. What great dignity, quiet dignity. And so many parents who day in, day out, try to do right by their families, carry out their duties to their children, to their God. We then, with Simeon, move to a later stage of life. Simeon, we can consider maybe in that grandfatherly stage. Here's someone who lived his life in tune with the Spirit, and perhaps shows us the opportunities of the more experienced or aged among us, to give great insights from their experience, from their ability to recognize God's presence in ways that maybe the younger are not able to. Finally, we have the figure of Anna, the prophetess. This great example of someone who did not become embittered by life. We heard that Anna was married and lived with her husband for 7 years, but then was widowed. And she's now 84 and been living out her life as a widow in the temple. We shouldn't just blow right across her experience as if that didn't affect her. Here's a woman who was married, who had projects, who had dreams for the future, and after 7 years, those were tragically halted. It would have been very easy for her to become embittered by the pain, to turn inward, to become mad at God in life, to harden her heart. But rather than become resigned and closed in on herself, she seemed to know how to live her wounds, to live that absence, to live that disappointment, all as ways of stoking her expectation for the ultimate fulfillment that comes with Jesus. Our lives, our families, our histories are sometimes marked by difficulties and loss and disappointment. But like Anna, we don't have to become resigned. There is an extraordinary presence among us, that presence of God with us, that's at the focal point of our celebrations these days. And if we keep this presence alive in our families, if we are able to sort of breathe that climate of faith together as families, as a community, then our families really do become for us that privileged place in which God wants to teach us how to love. God wants to use these relationships to help us, like Jesus, to grow in wisdom, to grow in knowledge. And so we can choose to live out those qualities suggested by St. Paul. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness. No matter our family situation, each of us can take those steps to make our family a little more like that holy family. following the example of our Lord, who becomes human to show us how to better be human, how to better be Christian.